vicino. Proper ministry. If you want to be successful in the call that God has on your life, there are some things apostolically that I have to straight up that I've seen in the church that we need to make adjustments to in order to be correctively ready for the time that we live in. One aspect is, in the spirit, you have to properly be able to interpret the past. Properly interpret the past. You can't wipe the past out. But if you do, you're going to be spiritually unbalanced. Or imbalanced, both ways. So there is a millennium preaching and a modernism preaching that has to be cut off at the root, because it's dealing with the millennium group who need new preaching. Alright? So millennium, modernism, these things have to be dealt with properly, apostolically, for the church to be able to go forward as God desires for her to go. She can't go now. She can't go because there are too many groups who have harmonized wrongly. Now, these two things I will tell you earlier tonight are going to correct that. Properly interpreting the past, all right? Prophetically speaking the future. See, you still have to have somebody with a word from God, regardless of what's going on. The prophet of old always had the answer. They did not let the world give them the answer. They were sent to the world with a heaven and earth government to give the world the answer. So you can't try to stay modern. You can't try to please them. Alright? And then live strong in the present. I'll give you three things. Interpret the past properly, prophetically speak the future, and live strong in the present. Right? The church somewhat has been crippled, and I'm not believing this, the church has been crippled from the Millennium Affirmation Center. I'm not against the Millennium, you understand what I'm saying? But if the Millennium is going to make it, they're going to have the past. They're going to have to know what's happening in the future. And they're going to know how to live in power in the present. So, there are no such things as youth methods. Youth message, there's no such thing. Everybody needs to have a message. See, you can modernize it to fit their display, but you're doing it with their service. Now, a lot of churches that exist today will not make it. Will not make it because confusion will come, going to come, and the demonic force is going to be too strong for that pattern. So in this school, you watch my net students, in this school, you have to understand crowd does not mean success. And if you're a pastor, you can't run no church by the millennium because they won't. You need the elderly folks who have served time, got some money to help you run this thing. And young folks that got no money, they're trying to find it. You understand what I'm saying? I thought you were laying there. Now, we need to prepare for God's invasion. There's going to have to be a Holy Ghost invasion in order to for the world system as well as the church to recognize who is in charge. Okay? So there will be a new wave of supernatural power. Okay? is soon coming to be seen manifested in the church. The reason that the supernatural power has to manifest, because science is manifesting. And science is not as strong as the spirit. Every aspect of life must be kept in its place below the spirit, below the Holy Ghost. And so we as ministers must understand that popularity, that's not power. Matter of fact, popularity is weakness. If anybody likes you, you're not a preacher. Okay? So this new wave of supernatural power is soon to be seen manifested in the church. I just started talking, exalted on worship. I see a game told. I see performance. I see pattern. I see nobody pregnant with the present. But the Lord making new babies in the spirit world. And so we want sample. And we got to reconstruct that too. Okay, so this new wave of supernatural power has to come because we're not going to be able to have it in this season, in the last day, in the evil time. And so I think that's why he brings the apostolic back to the church. God has deposited in the church what can have an enemy that come up. But that team spirit will have to be formed. Are you following me? When they're on a team, okay, one go on and work their own show. You see what I'm saying? Okay, all right. One of the things that will happen, and we have to depend on these gifts of the Spirit, this nine manifestation, the power of God will be released through the revelation and power gifts in the most unprecedented way. In other words, you're going to be out of ordinary. And see, if you're stuck in a flow, when the Holy Ghost knocks, you're not going to know who knocked. Because you already got your mind made up from nine times before you. And you're following them, so you're the Lord going to do a new thing. Because this is a new season. And so that the Holy Spirit knows how to even organize that. You know, the Holy Spirit don't live in that book. Because these gifts, when we function in the Holy Ghost, we're going to have to be available for these gifts to manifest. And most of the time, these gifts will cross up tradition and organization. That think they're so strong, these gifts have no mind. And so you have to be ready to be different, to be able to yield, to be able to flow with fresh anointing and fresh revelation from God. All right? So maybe I'll get a chance to talk about these gifts that are so powerful, these revelations, the power gift that 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Supernatural signs and wonders are going to break forth in the life of the congregation. I've had it here already. As we dig deep into worship and I'm digging deep into prayer, I see members coming alive that I haven't seen alive in a long time. But because they're not their fault, it's my fault if they don't see it. I mean, it's just contrary. But most of my members are not contrary. They're ready to flow. So supernatural signs and wonders are going to break forth in the life of the congregation, not just the pulpit. In the book of Acts, it wasn't just the pulpit, it was the congregation flowing because they caught on to revelation, knowledge, and anointing, and so they flowed freely. And so the Holy Spirit was able to use anybody he wanted to use. And that's what the Lord desired. That's why you're here in this school. Yes, God can use me, say that. Yes, so one time we just pointed at the preacher, pointed at the pulpit, pointed at the deacon. No, God uses his whole body. You have the spirit, you have the anointing, and we as leaders will have to know that. Yeah. And Daniel, there's a word, danger. Daniel. they're just unfathomed demons when a person walking in exploits anointing. Because then now they can be standing in front of them and behind. Because it's just so supernatural. And so it is not equal. It is not a temptation to think that you're going to lose. You're going to have to know that you can't lose. Because you're dealing with the highest power that exists and that will ever exist. But Satan will try to pull you off the road and go another floor. And so you got to watch yourself, all right? Of sin. Now that has to be in this generation. Consciousness and conviction. Not just consciousness, but conscious enough to be convicted. See? Because a remnant of us will have to be standing on holy ground. And people who are not conscious, look at Romans 9 and 1. I always love that verse. People who are not conscious of holiness, and are not conscious of sin, they're playing pity-pat game with God. They're doing the things, I'm sorry, they don't mean it, they're playing all doing it tonight. So I call real consciousness, your conscious man winning with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost can bear witness with your conscience. And the Holy Ghost can dig all of your soul and find out what's up in there. See. So, yes, physical manifestation will take place. But then, heightened anointing will take place. People will move more strongly in the Spirit, and you will know it's the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Not a man performed to be a first Corinthians 2. But Paul talks about it because I'm not knowing that among you, and I didn't come to you with actual speech. Let your faith in our standing with the men, but the power of God. So he moved in the Spirit. And that's the only thing, the only way that any church is going to be able to survive in this hour. It also will be awesome. Manifestation of God's presence. Oh my God. In his people and in church gathering. Now, here's something I want this class to know. How did the Lord say to me? You're shaking. I didn't think that he told me. You're shaking, and the Holy Spirit shaking, not just that. So there's a whole lot of shaking going on and a lot of movement going on, but it isn't really the Lord. It's the power there to back it up. It's the manifestation there to back it up. See what I'm saying? So we have somewhat sometime credit emotion for devotion. Emotion is a great move of God. Now, a real man or woman of God can made the church a little small and crawling, trying to get somewhere with a thought of an invisible being. And we see everything we got, we move it, we move it, we flow. You see what I'm saying? And so the church has a lot of things around it, a vicious spiritual battle that is already raging against the church. All right? Set yourself in the Holy Spirit to guide you. Oh, wow. The church must rise above the spirit of spirits of control. Manipulation. And witchcraft.
Yeah.
Which are rising within the church to cripple its forward momentum. That's why the apostolic had to come back to the church.
Yeah.
We as pastors wouldn't deal with the thing in the ship. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
but see, now the apostolic come, now we got apostolic pastor, apostolic evangelist, apostolic teacher. So now the church is running full folds in Ephesians. I want you to read Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 4. That's a lot of information because the apostolic is a mission that had been revealed to me as an apostle to bring to the church. So we had not had those missions, as we should. Okay? And then you go over in Ephesians 4 and you see what the fivefold ministry is supposed to be producing. The leaders must be separated to fulfill the high calling of their ministry. And here's a good one. Be found faithful in little. Where we sit in charge of many cities. Jesus said, you be faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. There's always a test in the spirit. Yeah. I know it's rest in the spirit, but it's also test in the spirit. Because you have to be tested because it's so dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. In the spirit, in the flesh, is different. In the flesh, in the psychology, is different. Even though God used your mind. Oh, my. And may I, when I say this, may it cover this class and cover those online. Have the governmental anointing released upon them. See, that's Isaiah 9. See. The governmental anointing. That's a special type of anointing. That's an anointing from heaven. That's an anointing that is ruling on God's behalf. That's an anointing that has divine backup that make the impossible possible. That's why in this business we got to do it by faith. There's a whole lot of things you're not going to see. You're going to have to know it. You're going to be able to trust him when 13 people cut you loose. Because you won't go down the old trail and they cut you loose. It's too much testing here. You got to do too much. You got to be on time. You got to stay late. I don't want to be free, me. Now, let's deal with the challenge to the front line. Number one, it has to be leaders who see the future. That's prophetic. That has to be revealed to you. Yeah. The church leadership needs to march in front of the rest of the body of Christ and to lead the church into the next millennium. That we head on. Now remember, to lead them in the millennium, you have to be able to interpret the plan. Right? And you have to be able to prophesy prophetically in the future. And you have to live in the right kind of power in the present. That's what you see in there. Those three things are important because you just left Sunday school. Listen to me. Just because you got a lot of scriptures in your head doesn't mean you're functioning in power. a tricky play. Memorize a lot of scriptures, spit them scriptures out. And then I said, can you spit them on this field all the time? It's just not spitting on me. You don't need to spit on me if you're not going to get nowhere.
Yeah.
Spit scriptures out. They're proud of it. But they don't know how to shift.
Yeah.
They don't know how to hit the brakes.
Yeah.
They don't know sometimes you can't roll. You got to fly. In the spirit. So I need to launch in front of the rest. Back to my scripture now. You know what my scripture is? No, not that one. I'm talking one I gave you. Oh, flat oil. Yeah. That's a cool apostle made that statement. Yes, nobody won't cry. Don't follow me. Do what I say do. See what I'm saying? Yeah, she said, but you got four or five things in that verse is so important to me for people to understand how this thing works. So they need to be marching into the front line of the battlefield. Watch this now. Providing a strength of leadership that is dependable and fearless as we press into the uncharted waters of destiny. But that leader need to be out there. He need to be out front. He need to know where he's going and where she's going. And it don't know where for that to happen in Romans 8:14. Unless you're led by the Spirit of God. So you got to totally depend upon the Holy Ghost. What I say? The Spirit. A man's job or a woman's job is to yield and to flow. Yield and flow. That's one of the secret of ministry. Is yielding and flowing. Not always knowing. But the element of faith always has to be in place with God. Without faith. You see what I'm saying? So, he's not going to tell you everything, but if you do, you won't be living by faith. You cannot stop living by facts. Faith is strong in facts. Faith can change fact, but facts can't change faith. You have to know that at that time, you're not going to know what to do. That's your best place. Something you know that. Yeah, that's seen a training ground. If God not planned what he's training you. But in order for God to use you, you have to see your helplessness without him, without his hand on you. So, what if everything don't go right in ministry? I've been in ministry for 40 years. What if everything don't go right? Stand your ground. Have I messed up? Yes. We got hot and blow kind of thing. No, just shut up. Shut up. Let me have this thing. I'm not going to do it. So leadership enables have prophetic perception. Get that word. Perception of the future and have an ability to clearly interpret the past movement of God. If you cannot bring Abraham in the present, you're just going to preach about Abraham back then today, what it means to me. But you need to have the proper interpretation of Abraham because he was a valid instrument in the hand of God, showing us how great God is and the great things that God can do when everything's against you. I think one of the paramount understanding is being fully persuaded. What he has promised is all also able to perform.
Yes, sir.
Now, we can say that, but then until you get some of this under your belt, until you've been in some of these tight spots, and you stay with it, then it can too. So you can write it down and clap your hand and all that, but see, you've got to go through the steps that you can trust Him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge Him and let Him do it. Very important what I'm about to say now. God has called us to allegiance only to restore truth and not the forms, styles, practices, methods, and personal preferences. Ooh, I'm going to say that again, man. This is heavier than you think. This is a road being dropped for you to get many benefits out. This is heavy, 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 because you can get, you got too much exposure now. Too much information. Information without revelation. We got too much presentation being made that seem like a real thing. But then the Bible tells us, try by the Spirit. Don't go by the literature. Don't go by the sound. Don't even go by the trial. Because if he is, we get a big problem. Yeah, don't tell him nothing about sin. You got a back like that, won't act. Man, they'll follow you. Yeah, you know, man. You. Now listen. God has called us to allegiance only to the restored truth and not the forms. Got it? Styles, practices, methods, and personal preference. That's going to be okay. So I'm going to read it one more time. I'm putting the T-bars. That is and the Spirit of life constantly showing us what direction that we should take. This is very careful. See if you're right. Say, Tess, you off that right one. That's right. Don't let y'all want to pass. We can maintain continuity to what God has been doing in the past only if we walk and live with the prophetic perception and insight that God has given us in our generation. Prophetic perception and insight. Now, class, this is an inside business. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The answer of his word gives his life. So, and in that word always is spirit and life. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And so we need that enlightenment consistently. We need that perception. We need that insight. It's more than saying just a few words. We need to embrace the best of the past and allow its realms to be seen in the present. For the word, every now and then I'll put David's clothes on. Every now and then I'll put Moses' clothes on. I'll put his shoes on and step in that spot where the border came out. And then you bring it. It's all with you all the time. It's with you when you minister. Different power hits you in the spirit realm. Are you following it? All right, now, class, this is immediate. We need to receive apostolic blueprints blueprint. You had apostolic imitation. Not some of the apostles. I don't think I'm all the one again, but they're not easy to find. And you can find titles all the time.
Right.
But the production don't speak to the name. You apostle was 14 members. And 7 of them mad with you. People get mad, they don't get nothing. You said, you know, you're home, you said, man, you've been sitting there for 14 hours, and then brought all kinds of junk. I mean, you ain't never gonna be here. We need to embrace the best of it. We need to receive apostolic blueprints. That's why I told you to read Ephesians 3 and 4. You're going to see apostolic blueprint there. We need to receive, well, the whole book of Ephesians, you see. We need to receive apostolic blueprint from where? From where we get it from? You got to have an apostle or have some apostle. I think that El Chimico put out a lot of apostolic people in their churches. If a man can't do it for you, a ceremony can't do it. See, we got a ceremonial apostle. Man, the robe and the staff and all kinds of stuff. That ceremonial stuff, man, did God call me to be an apostle? Evidently, I haven't had a program yet. We need to receive apostolic blueprints and the heavenly pattern. Get that now. For change in these perilous times. I'm looking at 1 Chronicles 12:32. I really don't know what it says. 1 Chronicles 12:32, turn that. You don't say it right there, we just go to make for it. Why y'all read this one? I'm not even done to it. I better turn to it. 1 Chronicles. Something for it? Yes, sir. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding, understanding of the time. Right there in the understanding of the time. That's so important. Understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. Ooh, that's powerful. They had it down to 200 and all the brethren were at their commandment. Now that's three things there. They knew, understood the time, they knew what to do, and the people listened. I mean, you can't do it if they don't listen. You know, and then if you don't have no evidence, why ain't too much about listening to you? You've been preaching all that time, they got no evidence. Well, you get up in jump power, running around, no production. That's a good voice, class. I understand. I think that opened up the whole spiritual world that we need some people who understand the time. Understand, look at how we do it again. Children of Israel, which were men that had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. Now, that's what I've been ministering since I stood up here. See what ministry is and what you can walk the ministry by just preaching to young people. You mess it up like that. You mess it up because you got these people who have been around. I'm not just talking about money, now they got anointed. And you get one of them prayer warriors who really know how to pray, who not just saying word. That's a blessing within itself. So we got to keep a balance. I'm not guessing the millennium. But they think they're going to mess you over. Until I drive down the street. You know, now they're not money gonna show you. You need to get on the bus, get your seat, sit down, shut up. We're trying to take you somewhere. You can't take me nowhere. You can't take me to no computer. You can't take me to no invention. I'm talking about the inventor. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not a eternal word. And so we need to lead us right now to know this. That's why I want to share this with you. Y'all need to know this. Whatever capacity God want to use you in, don't fall off the truck. Before anybody else. Yeah, I see some of these young guys riding up, got a big following. I watch every now and then. I see them on television. People all out in the stadium. Yeah, one demon. One mad demon dropping it. Yeah. They're in trouble because you got no good. You can't quote scripture to demon. You can't pull a Bible on a demon. Demon read the Bible. Demon need to see power, conviction. Somebody who know what the name of Jesus means. Somebody who know the power of the blood. That's what demon need to see. That demon, then they were like, pull the scripture to my what scripture? Demon, I read that last night. Jesus, I know. God, I know. But who are you? Quote the scripture. The church need to be prepared for the church for the future. The day leadership must read the time like the sons of Israel and apply the hammer and pattern without compromise. I love that. Oh, I love that interview today. You know what the sons of Israel, what pattern they had? They understood the time and they knew what they ought to do. And all of this is involvement of the Holy Spirit. See, the children of Issachar wasn't really it. It was the Holy Spirit, but they would yield as instrument as we're trying to yield, right? We're trying to yield to God. We're not trying to make no new deal. We're trying to yield to Him and go where He wants us to go and say what He wants us to say, do what He wants us to do. That's it, isn't it? So we have to understand that. So today's leadership must read the time like the sons of Issachar, and apply the heavenly pattern without compromise. Now, without compromise, that's a big one because it means that I'm not going to shift with even if things wrong. I'm going to hold my ground. And I'm going to listen for the voice to give me instruction. And you may write this down and make a note of it. God does not give A, B, C instruction. He might go all the way to Z. He might come back the other way. That's the way God functions. Yeah, see, he's not going to work on your level. See, so the one way you may think it should go, and God got a thousand or a trillion other ways to do it, you know. We need to be doing adopting strategies, apostolic strategies, method, style, and paradigm of thought pattern and attitude that will prepare the church for the future. So you talk fair at that time, but they don't talk fair at me. I did it on purpose. You know, adopting strategy, number one, strategy, number two, method, number three, style, number four, paradigm of thought pattern and attitude, pattern and attitude that will prepare the church for the future. Pattern and attitude. When you do this right, let me talk personally now. When you do this right, the people who follow you can stand their own ground. They're not afraid. They got enough in them and enough impartation and revelation. But they have their faith built to know this is not my battle. Now, this is the Lord's battle. And I'm going to fight it in faith. Listen to this. See, can you identify with it? The church today is struggling to cope with the present overwhelming need of our society. It's struggling. It shouldn't be struggling. That's why God sent us a prophetic word when it comes. That's so you can be in your wealthy place. You know, because I needed battery and went to the jewelry shop. And then they have much to get the watches from. You might find some wrong, but what? Here we go. The humanistic philosophies of ministry, which have invaded the church, have kept us in a rut of destruction, thus forcing us to vomit, crying on our past fear and inadequacy. And I've got to give you that again, because I want you to see humanistic, the humanistic philosophies of ministry, which have invaded the church, have kept us in a rut of deception, thus forcing us to vomit on our past fear and inadequacy. Father, my brother, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. See, we're supposed to be, the Bible tells us to be strong. And the Bible says, I can do all things. Philippians 4:13, through Christ will strengthen me. But you have to learn how to yield. You have to learn how to flow. You have to learn how to humble yourself. You have to learn how to wait on God. You have to learn how to trust God. But there's a lot of inadequacies in the church today. And Lord, you understand? That's all. People don't know what to do. See, because two profound scripture. Search the scripture for anything you think you have life. But to testify to me, but you won't come to me to get life. You got a bunch of scripture, but you don't have me. Assignment is keeping the church focused on purpose. The drastic changes that are taking place in our environment and society are forcing the church to compromise on its original calling and purpose. The church hasn't anything but what we're going to have. Most damnable thing was the church hustling. And so they had all kind of baby. Black, all men in black, all women in white. Men day, women day, your day, hard day, your cousin day. And it all was about money, basically. And you had some sincere Christian in the thing, but it actually was just running God's people crazy, but it is trying to do something that only God can do. Keeping the church forward on purpose. The drastic changes are taking place in our environment and society of forcing the church to compromise on its original calling and purpose. See, if the church not in tune to apostolic power, that the fivefold ministry gifts of the holding hand, that the Holy Spirit can use the whole command, then the church comes to a place where she compromises. Now, right now, God's church is in a compromising position. Catering the people. Know who got the biggest church, the biggest number of people, untrained and untamed. Can't stop nothing. They can't stop nothing in the spirit realm. See? The church leadership today must be in touch with today's changing society so as to keep abreast of the development in the world we are aiming to reach. See, so you see them pretty well abreast on what they're doing out there. See, I'm not against them, but I'm not for them either. No. These things got to be straightened out. We must understand global changes so that we can provide a dynamic leadership to break into a new horizon in world evangelism. World evangelism. Church ain't thinking about the evangelism. They come to church, get their communion, and go home to the house. When the last time you witnessed somebody? 101. Up in here. When the last time you told somebody, I won't tell you about Jesus. You know why? Because you're not in tune to the fact that's my primary goal. When you do that, God starts sending people to you. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, what the hell is it here? Yeah. I mean, man, brought this piece of mail at this time. Yeah. And they get saved every time.
Yes, sir.
But the church changed from evangelism, because the apostle wasn't there to keep them focused. See? And so there are a lot of things that God want to trust us with, but he couldn't trust us with that. So the church become a stuff-receiving church. Lord, this is what I need. You're a good God. Have mercy. Oh, God. Lord said to you, yeah, Lord, praying to you. This is what I need. You need to go back and see what I said here. You wouldn't be needing all this again. Do the Lord's will. The Father said, so evangelism, we'll do more about it, but we must understand global changes. They're going to provide a dynamic leadership to break into a new horizon in world evangelism. So important. The new emerging leadership must be clearly prophetic in foresight and revelation while being apostolic in wisdom, authority, and strategy. Want to get it again? Test. Let me do it again. Test. Give it to my little secretary. The new emerging leadership must be clearly, number one, prophetic in foresight. Number two, and revelation. And revelation, number two. Number three, while being apostolic in wisdom. So that's about number four, I believe. And then number two has another number. Authority and strategy. So we got leadership, we got prophetic foresight, revelation, while being apostolic in wisdom, apostolic in authority, apostolic in strategy. Come on, Claire. Apostolic in prophetical insight, apostolic in revelation, apostolic in wisdom, apostolic in authority, apostolic in strategy. Heaven to earth connection. Portals of the supernatural. These dimension class will help prepare the present generation adequately to become the future leaders of tomorrow. See, so if we don't keep some of this group in the church, well, saints have caught a hold of God and really know how to yield to God. We don't keep it, every generation putting out a weaker church. With a good man. Now, I'm about to pop it up. A good man with no plan. See what I'm saying? A PLN, a good man, good son, with jumping, no plan. We can't let that happen. We have to be a people with a plan, right? Right. These dimensions will help the dimension I just gave you. Will help prepare the present generation to actually adequately become the future of leaders of tomorrow. We're approaching the dawn of the new millennium. We're standing at the threshold of a new era and time period that will produce its own distinctive generation. My goodness. You listen, Claire?
Yes, sir.
Wisdom to consolidate and become accurate. Wisdom to consolidate and become accurate. We're going to have to know how to deal with that. We're going to have the wisdom of God. And we're going to have God accuracy. You cannot be a leader worthy. You have to have the grace of God upon you. And then God will give you accuracy. We need apostolic wisdom to consolidate what is happening today and restructure ministries and churches until they become relevant to the time that we're in. We need the book of Acts now. We need all the office working. We need holiness. We need sanctification. We don't need nobody repenting every 15 minutes because I don't believe it's real. You got to repent that much. We need apostolic wisdom. I want you to get that now. Apostolic wisdom to consolidate what is happening today and restructure. That's what we're doing right there in the school. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing in the LTV. Restructuring. ministry and churches until they become relevant to the kind of other way that they can handle it. But the higher power can still manifest.
Yes.
We must find apostolic strategies and employ God's divine principles to reach a dying world without Christ. Apostolic strategy and divine principles. They work every time. Let me say it again. Now, the church leadership today must seek God for apostolic strategy that will help us keep biblical principles intact while we change the society around us. In other words, don't let them change the Bible. They try to change the Bible, try to neutralize it, you know, but we can't let that happen. We have to be enough in the Spirit to know that the Bible is right. And every other strategy is wrong. And they're going to have thousands out there. Got about that now. Give an insight. You know, messed up on grace. Messed up on grace. And sometimes I got to get in or something to really see it. I got into that grace thing, got saying some things, silly. And the Spirit got me down and said, look what you violated. I said, I got it now. And they didn't want me to get in. I come back cutting that. God said, God let you go on a journey to come back cutting, but he knew you're going to turn. You're going to turn when you see the bottom of this thing. And I had to get to the bottom of it. But they are using grace, the teaching is using grace as a substitute for holiness. And grace is designed to make you holy. You see what I'm saying? And so it's excuses. Another thing is generalizing scripture. Like you at the library. You know, no, God said Jesus Christ the same way. Whatever. That means he never changed, right? So there's no new sin. There's no new holiness. Yeah, exactly what they always been. Alright, so wisdom to consolidate and become accurate. Again, I'm going to repeat, we need apostolic wisdom to consolidate what is happening today and to restructure. Got to be strong with that. Ministries and churches until they become relevant to the time we're in. We must find apostolic strategies and employ God's divine principle to reach a dying world without Christ. Again, the church leadership today must seek God for apostolic strategies that will help us keep biblical principles intact while we change the society around us. In other words, again, I'm getting to, don't let the society change us. You know, don't let, they can't set the rule. Because the Lord rule. This is the Lord's church. This is the Lord's world. And some people just don't accept it, but this is the Lord's world. Let's talk a few minutes. I want to go a few more minutes. We were talking about Samuel types of leadership anointing. And it started off with the revivalists. They had the best to understand the revivalists. Number one is in the book of Acts, through Satan apostle was the greatest product of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The greatest product of this end time revival is going to be the manifestation of the apostolic men full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. There is no revival without a revivalist. No revival can gather an ongoing momentum without the ministry of the revivalist. Now, what happens is evangelists are used a lot of time. But a revival is actually bringing the church back to where she needs to be. Yeah. We always had that mixed up. We call it revival. We're trying to win souls. But a revival actually is supposed to be reviving the people. Oh, you dry bone. You see, you say, yeah, I don't want to revive. When the bones start rising, you know that?
Yes,
yeah. to care about a revival wave, but he created a revival wave everywhere he goes. Listen, he carries with him an apostolic anointing that give him the mandate to organize, consolidate, and establish the believer in what God is prophetically fulfilling today. See, it's revival. And so each one of you here and down the road and around the world who's connected here, Columbus, Ohio, wherever you're from, because he got a class of 30, Dr. Fall, in school. So you got 30 students from Columbus, Ohio. The reviving forces will only work with people who have enough revelation to understand that God does not change. Time may change, season may change. You know, people may dress a little different. That's okay. But by the same token, on the inside, God is not looking at your suit. He's looking at on the inside. But they all wear a pretty good suit sometimes. Men need to dress up and stuff from there all the shapes on. Sad. Acts 3:24. I'm about to close, class. Class next. I'm about to get out your way. Acts 3:24, yeah, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. So here, the prophetic anointing was brought into a new level of functioning, new level of function, and matured in and through the life of Samuel. A new level of functioning, a new level of maturing. So God will use you, you see. We also know that Moses touched a greater measure of the prophetic anointing. He's working under the I Am anointing. So God took of his spirit and placed it upon 70 other men. That's how powerful it was. The 70 men prophesied and took a greater measure of leadership. That's what we're doing with LTMA. You know, I got to get those guys to pay attention. I've got men that are my master vision bearer, they pay attention and they get results. You got to pay attention, man. You can't. Man, when I'm getting caught on that phone, boy, you better be taken home in the place where God wants you to be. Because all my insufficiency is on that phone. So it's an impact with grace. See, on my own merit, I can't do these things. Are you following me? So you yield to the Spirit, you get it. And the 70 men prophesied that they got more of the Spirit on them. The structure based on more of the leadership was expanded through this phenomenon, see? Years later, God took some of Moses' spirit and placed it upon Joshua, who became a capable replacement for Moses. But as all this is the spirit of him, he moved on to lead the people into a new dimension of victory and apostolic power. Joshua did. See? But God told him, as I was with Moses. And then he said, don't turn from the left, nor the right, what Moses had taught you. But you got, it's been easy to get nobody to hear now. Everybody know. Everybody jump out the truck before the wheels stop rolling. And so what's going to happen when it hit? So ministers don't stay in the truck long enough. They jump out because they don't see what's happening. God's showing them their plan. This is what I'm going to do for you. He did not fear for that was another man. We're going to give him his own. See, there's got to be a training period. You've got to have some type of pressure on you. Yeah. You can't be a plum. You've got to have some kind of pressure on you to produce. Yeah. And then once you understand that, then you'll be able to flow. So we our aim is to lead people in a new dimension of victory and apostolic power. There was no one else whom God used to bring men into the prophetic dimension and add them to the structure base of corporate leadership over Israel. This was not possible until the time of Samuel. Samuel's ministry marked the beginning of a new era of prophetic release and corporate leadership. How long that clock was? 1 hour and 3 minutes. I'm going to give you a revivalist anointing that I'm going to close. Some of it. You revive this anointing of Samuel. It's a threefold anointing. Samuel was a prophet, priest, and king. King, but no judge. He possessed these three anointings and successfully communicated them to others through life importation. Priest, king, prophet, priest, and king. Going through his school and getting enough season under your belt, you're supposed to walk in these three: prophet, priest, and king. Because you're supposed to be the judge of that. Yeah, you may be judge the person, you can judge something. Yeah. If it don't line up with God's word, I'm judging.
Yes,
you come to me with a woman, and I say, that's your wife. Let's stand together. Well, I can do it yet. Yeah. Yeah, it's wrong. I'm telling you, I ain't got to go pray, Lord. Just tell the people the truth. Don't come to me if you don't want to know the truth. Let them come along. As a prophet, God divine oracles will continue to be given to Israel through Samuel. Unlike the days of Eli. Let's look at this one scripture in our close. 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3. Yeah. 1 Samuel 3. Now, I tell you, if you pay attention, you finish school, you going to have some money in your belt, and you're going to be able to use it to the glory of God. Let the Lord be magnified. That's what I saw. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah. Not by might. By my spirit, said the Lord. I trust the Holy Ghost. You trust the Holy Ghost? Yeah. 1 Samuel 3, verse 19. And Samuel grew. See that? And the Lord was with him. That's a lot of words there. And did that not, oh my God, not a word fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. See, and so when you walk in an office proper, people know, not a person here don't know I'm not a prophet. Because the evidence is here, not me, but the evidence are there, and you can sense it in the spirit. And it does something to your life. You know, you change. You feel more assured of yourself. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's a learning process, but at least I know something to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't just cry. No, I'm going to say, I'm a priest. I'm a king. I'm a prophet. You tell yourself that, you rise up in the spirit. You know? Oh, God bless you. I know that at least two test questions on the night. I know that. And so y'all be blessed, and I'll see y'all. I'll take the water with my drink. So I'm taking this.